And we're going to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And we're going to be reading St. Luke's account of the resurrection. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Hallelujah. "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." Glory to God. St. Luke gives an account that mirrors that of the rest of the apostles and their reactions as they went to the tomb. These women, godly women, going as was the Jewish custom after 3 days to anoint the body with precious spices. We heard this morning in the Gospel of Mark how they were worried who would move the big stone. And that stone was huge. Huge. And we don't know which are the actual tomb of Jesus today. There's one that is suspected to be it. But in them to cover those tombs were great round stones that rolled along a trail carved in the stone. And those things made many, many hundreds of pounds. And no one man could move them. And so they were anxious. But as they arrived there, the stone had been moved. And lo and behold, the grave was empty. And lo and behold, angels of the Lord told them, "You're seeking the living among the dead. He is not here. He is risen." And in Luke, they are reminded of what Jesus said, that he must suffer and die to rise again. And they flew back to the apostles, and the apostles disbelieved, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Later on in the Gospel of Luke, a few passages following this, we have the account of the two disciples that had left Jerusalem, were going up to Emmaus, a city near Jerusalem, and they were visited by a stranger they did not recognize at first. And they talked along the way. You remember that beautiful story? As I shared this morning, I have a painting at my house given to me by one of my churches on my last Sunday there. And there are these men walking under the trees along the dirty road, dusty road. And Jesus has his hand up as he's teaching them. And we know that they later on were stopping for the evening and implored Jesus to stay with them since the hour was late. They had not yet recognized him. And when they sat down and Jesus broke bread, immediately they knew it was the Lord. And he immediately departed from them. And they couldn't fly back to Jerusalem quick enough to tell the disciples, "We have seen the risen Savior." There is no doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. I know there are people today that doubt it. But I would remind you that the apostles, every one of them died to the last man, except St. John, he was the only one that died of old age, died to the last man for Jesus Christ. And it would have taken only one thing for them to have been saved from death, and that one thing was to deny that Jesus rose from the dead, that he was Messiah. But every one of them had seen him. They knew he was alive. And they knew that their life was in him. And they knew that everything he had promised had come true. I want you to hear that today, my friends. Everything Jesus has promised in the Bible to his disciples came true for them. And it will come true for you if you truly believe in him. And so they refused and they died, but they died not in fear. They died in joy, knowing that they would soon be with Jesus. They knew that for those who are in Christ, they have life everlasting. They knew that Jesus had won the victory. And they could not suppress the church. They persecuted. Incidentally, I don't know if you've seen the news. Early this morning, word has come to us from Sri Lanka, which is an island off the southern part of India. It used to be called Ceylon. That this morning, that the churches, the Christian churches, as they gathered for worship there, have been attacked by suicide bombers. Several churches, over 200 of them, of the Christians, were martyred this morning while we slept. But I say to you, that evil will not defeat the church of Jesus Christ, because our Savior is victorious. He is victorious. In the Roman days, they tried every way they could to stomp out the Christian faith. And you know, when you attack the true believers and stomp on them, it's like stomping on a fire in a dry wood. Those sparks go everywhere and they start new fires. We've seen that in our own lifetime, the victory of Christ unfold in the Middle East. ISIS killed Christians, tortured them, and everything. And yet, you know what? In those territories today, there are more believers than there were before that persecution started. And why is that? Jesus Christ has won the victory over evil. He'll win the victory over any struggle in your life. He will win the victory over any struggle that the true church faces, because we know that even death could not hold him. I'm sure that the Jews and those who gladly put him to death thought they had everything solved on Good Friday. They thought, we're through with this Jesus. But they were sadly mistaken. They were sadly mistaken, gladly mistaken for the rest of us. This morning I shared with the group that God blessed me in two special ways on this Easter Sunday. He's blessing your life right now, I trust. He's filling your heart with a great joy and hope. But this morning Elizabeth called to me and said, come and look out the back window. And I looked out across the old tobacco field back there, and there was a marvelous sunrise. It just took my breath away, and it reminded me of that sunrise on Easter Day. And then this morning, as we gathered in here for sunrise service, I was sitting right over there in that chair. And this window, this particular window right here, the sun, I don't know if any of you noticed it, the sun was striking it with its full power, and that whole window glowed. And I thought, you know, that's a reminder to me of the way that tomb must have glowed that morning when Jesus obtained the victory over death. And I want to tell you people today that you of all people who believe in the gospel are blessed. The world that does not believe in Christ, that does not serve him, that does not honor him, and does not glorify him, has no victory. Did you know that? I was talking to an agnostic one time, and he said, well, you can always hope at the light for the end of the tunnel. I said, listen, brother, there's no light for you, at the end of the tunnel for you except an oncoming freight train. Because the only people that have light at the end of the tunnel who have hope are those who have committed their life to Jesus Christ. They alone are the inheritors of the victory obtained through him when he paid for our sin debts upon the cross and arose victoriously from the grave. My dear friends, unless Christ Jesus is your hope, and I mean sincerely, unless he's the desire of your heart, the victory is not yours. Well, I was talking to one of the brothers here in the congregation this morning. We got two chaps we're praying for that don't know the Lord. One of them will tell you he does, believes in him, but that he believes only with his head. Real faith is when you believe in him to the depth of your being. Not one thing would I withhold, Lord, from you. I want to give you the whole of my life. I just don't want to give you Sunday morning for an hour. I want to give you the whole of my life. I want to live for you, not just when I'm sitting in the pews, but when I'm standing on the street. And to such people alone who truly commit their life to Christ, the victory of Easter is yours. He promised you that I go to prepare a place for you. He does. He's already prepared that place. By his mercy and grace, calling me at the age of 19 to salvation, he put my name on a book. And right now in heaven somewhere, there's a table. I don't know the date I'll take the place at that table, but it has on that place a card reserved for Gerald M. Sanders. He obtained that victory for me. And he assured me of that victory when he rose from the dead. And dear friends, if you believe in him this morning, you've obtained that victory. The grave is not your end. Glory is your end. Sadness is not the final word. Joy is the final word. There'll come a day when we shall stand in his presence. Hallelujah. Mine's getting closer all the time. Hallelujah. And we'll stand in his presence, and all the sorrows and troubles of life will fall away. And we'll see our Savior face to face. What a day that'll be when we obtain the fruits of his victory. Dear church, we celebrate today the victory of our Savior. His victory is over all things that stand in opposition to him. And with it comes a victory for you. When I was a young man, it was my plan to become an infantry officer. And I was at the University of Tennessee pursuing that career. When the Lord saved me, and eventually against my will, called me into a different kind of army. But praise God that he did it. No glory could I ever have in this world that compares to the glory that I've received through Jesus Christ. And that's true for you, believers. That's true for you. You have the thing which the world seeks for through its ways and never finds, but through Christ you have found it. Through Christ you have been saved, not just for a time, but forever and ever. That is the victory which the church preaches today. The victory of Christ overcoming the world, even the most fearsome thing that a human being can face, overcoming death. Believers, no matter what troubles you go through in this world, and you will go through some, I'm not like Joel Osteen who tells you everything's going to be handy-dandy. It's not. It's not. That's not. You don't tell people the truth when you don't let them. You're going to have trials and troubles in this world. Every one of us will. And some of them are going to seem insurmountable sometimes. But don't look to the world. Don't be mistaken like St. Peter walking on the water, looking away from Jesus to something else. That's when he got in trouble. Look to Jesus, the victor over sin and death. And whatever befalls us in this world, at the end, we shall see him. I shall know him. I shall know him by the nail prints in his hands. I will see the Savior. This Gerald Sanders someday, and I trust very soon, is going to see his Savior. Won't that be wonderful? And won't it be wonderful when you see him? We are going to heaven, people. This world is not our home. And the heaven to which we go is so wonderful, even streets of gold and all the things we say about it is not adequate to describe its beauty and its wonder. And we know we're going there because Jesus walked out of that tomb. We know that our victory is assured because we have our life and being in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the victory. Easter ought to make you feel so happy you're about to jump out of your shoes. Brian, when I jump out of these white shoes, you can have them. Incidentally, call me Colonel Sanders. We've got some people in the church that raise chickens for eggs. All of them that have seen me this morning have asked me not to drive by their house because it'll make the chickens quit laying. So, but anyway, I want to tell you, the joy that ought to be in your heart ought to be so filling that you just want to sing and shout. Because he who is dead is now alive forever and ever and ever. And he has you in his hand. Oh, I just love that teaching from the Gospel of John. You know, we look at ourselves, we see that even though we believe, we continue to sin, we continue to fall short. And the old devil wants to tempt us and say, you're not going to make it. But listen, don't listen to him. Don't listen to your feelings. Listen to what the Word of God says. Jesus said, nothing is able to tear out of my hand those that the Father has given me. Think about that. Your security does not rest in yourself and in your feelings. Your security, if you've committed your life to Christ, rests in his hands. And you are put there by God. And nothing can tear you from it. I tell you what, if an insurance company could write a policy like that and guarantee it, it'd make the Jefferson Building in Greensboro looks like a peanut. Christ on Easter morning attained the victory of eternal life. Did you hear that? Eternal life for all who believe in him. I had a dear aunt and uncle. On my mother's side, my aunts and uncles were more like second mamas and daddies to me. Sometimes that's a bad thing. I'd hear Uncle S.L. or Aunt Sarah or Aunt Dorothy or any of them say, Gerald, come in this house. I got something for you. And I knew I didn't want it. But it was a glorious thing, too, because they loved me. And it was a glorious thing to be associated with every one of them because they all loved Jesus. And I have many memories. Every summer I went to Middle Tennessee to work on my Uncle S.L. Rigney's farm and to hang around his general store. And they were so close to me, Uncle S.L. and Aunt Sarah. My mother loved her sister Sarah so much, she named my little sister after her. Full name, Sarah Louise. But I remember on Sunday morning, there was no debate, there was no question. Those three girls and their son and myself, we were up early. Didn't have indoor plumbing. We got washed and cleaned up in a tub the night before. We got up, and sure as shooting at 11 o'clock, we were going to walk across the railroad track that ran through Summitville to the little Methodist church over on the corner. And praise God, that was a day when those churches still preached the gospel. And my Aunt Sarah, I can see her now. When they would sing the song, Victory in Jesus. In my mind's eye, I can see her right now. Seems like she always wore the same dress, a dark blue jersey. Some of you women might remember jersey dresses, I don't know. And I remember as we would start singing that song that down her face would begin to flow tears. Now those were not tears of sadness. They're what my Japanese adopted mother called happy tears. And as they sang that song, her face would break out into a radiance. And I knew in my heart, I didn't really know the Lord yet then, but I knew in my heart that she knew the Lord. And I have come to realize the victory that you and I have obtained in Jesus Christ, who overcame death and was resurrected, is the real joy of life, isn't it? Everything I've got in the world someday will be taken from me. I hope I give most of it away before that time comes. But everything. But let me tell you something, my friends. There is nothing in all creation that can take away my joy. My joy will be there through the end and magnified in the end, because I know Him who has obtained the victory over sin and death. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad. So you believers, I just want to really encourage you today to live in the bright hope that you have in the Lord's resurrection. And if there are any here today that have not claimed that, I want to encourage you to receive Christ Jesus into your heart as Lord and Master. As I said this morning, real faith does not happen in the head. It happens when in faith you give your life to Christ and you put Him instead of yourself upon the throne of your heart. And I promise you this, you cannot show me one person in the history of the world who has given their life to Jesus, I mean really given it, and ever regretted it. I've talked to a lot of people. I've got a lot of regrets myself of giving too much of my life before I was saved to that which was a waste. But I rejoice when the Holy Spirit, to His grace, it's never of me, moves in my heart and I act in obedience to the Lord, the joy that comes. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. You know what that word abundant means? Everything you need. Not everything you want, but everything you need. Blessed are they who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and have believed in Him and have given their throne of their heart to Him. For theirs is the victory that He obtained for all who believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what Easter is about. The victory that He won and that we share.